Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Insane in the membrane.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with me, Rich Wilson. And this week, I'm joined by the mighty Tony Law. Yes, mate.
All right.
And Tony is in his home studio, in his house.
Yeah, it's a linen cupboard.
Yes.
I take the linen out, got the Hoover out, put that out there, the mop bucket, some bags for life from Waitrose, you know, those really thick ones they do now? I had about 30 or 40 of them, so lots of items bagged up in there. Above me is the children's linen up there, but I've got a roof on it. Oh, brilliant. And I'm not locked in with a cat this time.
Yes, you were just telling me about that. So you don't realize there's a cat in there until it's too late.
Yeah, because my legs, I can't see my legs because there's another shelf right here from my belly up to my chest where there's linen down there. And then below that, my legs are. And so there's an empty space down there. And sometimes I've been a half an hour into something and then I've felt a claw on my leg. Or I've heard purring before. And it's you can pick it up. Wonder if you can see down there. Not really. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, so pretty glamorous, but you don't see many cool setups like this.
This is where we're at now. We're in the future, Tone. This is us in the future.
Yeah, this is where I'll do all my gigs. Well, in lockdown, I did a lot of gigs from here.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We were all trying to find like little nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
To do our bits and bobs.
We've got a tiny flat, so we had to really think outside the box, inside the wardrobe.
Yeah, we did that. We had a tiny flat, and it was like I said, she was like under duvets and coats.
Yeah.
Or like in the corner of the room. Just anywhere you could do it, yeah.
Good times.
No
money.
But we kept our marbles rattling. That was the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Barely.
I lost my marbles.
How are you, Tone? Are you all right, mate? You all right?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm all right. But then that's what I would say no matter what.
Yes. We're very good at that. It's very British that we do that. Is that the same where you're from? Very kind.
Oh, yeah, Canada's like that. Everyone's, good. How are you doing? Real good. How are you? You good? Yeah. No, it's all good, eh? You bet. See you later.
Yeah, we're like that. We're like that. And then we moan about each other behind our backs. And
yeah, it used to be there really good service when I left, like 30 years ago. Everyone was, really fake and nice. And but I've noticed over the last 30 years when I've gone back to Canada that people... they're losing their niceness.
Well, I think we're all under so much pressure now. I mean, that's how much pressure you're under if Canadians are actually going, fuck this.
If Canadians are starting to get rude, we're fucked.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. They're the last of the nice people.
And the Japanese, when they start getting fucking moody and grumpy, we're
done.
That's the end of times, isn't it? Actually, I don't know. But Japanese people, every time I've come across them, they've always been just lovely.
Yeah, very calm.
I get onto YouTube and deep dive some videos about World War II, and that changes my perception.
I think that's the same. I think we're all. This
wouldn't
is what
want to be a prisoner of war. Let's put it that way. in Asia, WW2. I don't want to be out in the jungle. I've seen a bridge on the river Kwai.
Yeah, but they'd be like, right, you'll come with us, please. They'd be nice about it.
A bridge on Kwai me a river. That Kwai was the funniest joke about that. Is there an echo? Can you hear an echo when
there is an echo, but I don't know if that's.
Is that going to make it into the thing, or is it just me mentioning an
echo? Oh. Maybe I should Tim.
You can't hear an echo?
Is it my headphones?
I can hear it.
Yeah, I heard it vaguely, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll keep hunting around.
That's all right.
Yeah, well,
this is all part of what we do. Keep it in, yeah, nuts and bolts, the walks and all.
Every time I get close to coming up with a podcast idea or record a few, I think, I just don't like it. I don't like the sound of my own voice. You and I were talking about that at gigs the other day. Well, we hate watching ourselves. It's horrible. And then you listen back to the podcast and I think, oh, I'm not putting that out. No one wants to listen to that fucking shit. But I think what it really is I think that I'm incredibly lazy, and the idea of learning how to upload it onto all the platforms, I think maybe I'm using that as an excuse, like, no, I'll never be able to do that. It looks hard. Is it hard?
No, once you get yourself a producer that does it all.
Talk to me later.
I will.
Producer Paul will help you out.
Off.
Yeah.
Now that we're on the same numbers.
This is it. We're done now. This is it. We're all connected. I do another podcast with my friend Wellesley, and she and I, we talk about B movies and things like that. And that goes out. That doesn't even get edited. There's the bits where, because she's autistic, so she has to really think about what she's doing. And there'll be bits where she's got notes, and she's just reading the notes in her head. And I'm like, well, this is great podcasting. This is going in people's ears. Right. There's just silence while she's reading.
Oh, she reads it in
her head. She's trying to figure out what she's going to do next. And there's just, or she's trying to find facts about the films. And she's reading it in her head first. And I'm like, yeah, you have to say something. You can't just read it. But my point is, we just put that out. And I don't worry about that. I'm like, look, that is what it is. That's what happened. And people either like it or they won't like it. I think the trick is to try not to overthink it, which is rich coming from me.
I think I quite like the idea of that. That's different. I think I like people making mistakes. I like silences and stuff. And then you have to, like, if I'm driving along listening to a podcast and there's a big long silence, I have to go and check to see if it's been knocked off. And then I think, oh no, they just forgot what they were doing.
Yeah, I love that.
You can have slick ones. Those are nice, too. The rest is history. That's very slick and brilliant.
Yeah. I like a slick one, but they make me go to sleep. I can't have them on in the car for too long. They're like a sleep story, and I'm just like, I'm too relaxed.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. But even then your brain just goes, oh, this is nice.
Get your destination, stick your headphones on, walk into the... Like, you can spend most of your life not having to be alone with your own thoughts, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I only learned that recently, that, I can switch off the voices in my head. I put other voices in there.
Yeah. And then the bills don't get paid because I haven't done any thinking to remember that. Oh, I forgot about that. I love the podcast. What a game changer.
Yeah. Has it changed? So it's changing for you. Changed the landscape for you, Tony.
Well, I've stopped reading, so I don't know if it's all good. I don't read anymore, and I do tend to go down some rabbit holes and become very unhappy at the end of some of them. I just think, fuck, have I turned far right? I think I might be far right, and then I'll try and overcorrect, and then I'm pretty much into communism before you know it. And then I got to correct back again, and don't know who I am anymore. So I have to really be careful what podcasts I choose so that I know what to think isn't out of line with the mainstream of society.
Yeah, just like, tell me what my thoughts are, but don't get me in trouble.
yeah, just keep it between the lines.
Yeah. I did, it's funny actually, this morning we've just had a little baby, like I said to you the other day.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And I was feeding him. And I just stick on YouTube and I flick through bits on YouTube while I'm feeding him. And I found this is where I realised I need to up my positivity, because I clicked on a link that said Tom Petty wasn't all what it was, something about him being negative or something.
I saw that one.
Yeah, Tom Petty was in trouble or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what was wrong with Tom Petty? And I clicked on it thinking there'd be this, it turns out he was a total cunt. And it actually, he wasn't. He was just sticking up for musicians and sticking it to the man.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't, there's a lot of people who need to fill their content, so they have to go negative. And so, like, when you come across a thing that annoys you and really make you like, oh, I'm really glad. Oh, I'm finding out the truth here. That makes me so angry about that. And then you listen again, and they're doing this. And then, oh, they do it again. And then you find other podcasts that back that up. And then you're walking around going, oh, I'm super unhappy knowing any of that.
It's really hard. But the fact that I clicked on it because I thought it was telling me some negative stuff about Tom Petty, who I'm not a massive fan of. I've got, you know, Damn the Torpedoes and couple of other bits and bobs, but I'm not a huge Tom Petty fan.
Did you listen to Justin Hawkins Rides Again?
No, I've seen him talking on things lately.
He's got a podcast, Justin Hawkins Rides Again, and it's brilliant. It's so positive. And he'll put on YouTube, he'll put out, like, his titles will have, like, you know, meme-y kind of catchy things was Aerosmith a bunch of knobs, or he'll do something, and then when you get in it never is, like, it's never negative.
No.
People who abuse me online or something, and then it won't have been that bad, or like, so he tries to hook you in with something negative.
Yeah.
But it's relentlessly positive and lovely. Yeah, Justin Hawkins Rides Again. It's brilliant.
I'll check that out. But it's like when you're putting up clips of what we do. And which is, again, what we talked about the other day. Like you said, we struggle to look at ourselves because we're like, I don't want to see that. Yeah. How would anyone else want to see that if I can't see it? But I put one up, and I put up Heckler Destroys Comedian.
Yeah.
Just because I knew the comments would be, what? That's not destroyed. That's not. And I was like, oh, I'm playing the game now.
Oh, yeah. Ben Shapiro destroys... I mean, I can get into anything for a little while, so it'll be like some guy destroys woke student, and then you start watching and you're going, hang on, you're an adult, and that's just like a 22-year-old. I don't like this. I don't care if you destroy their ideas, because they're when you're a parent, you read about children, their minds aren't even, you got to be over 25 before you're not using your amygdala, all right, for one of the ones, amygdala, frontal cortex, they're still not, they're technically, their brains are teenagers till they're 25.
Oh, so really? So
they're incredibly creative, but they're also incredibly, messed up too. So they're easily led, they get passionate about things really quickly, and they can become quite extreme one way or the other.
Right,
there's not
yeah.
many people up to the age of 25, you're at your most volatile one way or the other.
Yeah, that's
so stay
true,
away
actually.
From them.
Yeah, not to be fucked with.
Yeah, so my kids, they I give them a wide berth. I keep a beady eye on them. And I never talk about my opinions with them anymore. I don't want to influence them. So I listen to their terrible 14-year-old ideas, and I go, I'm going to validate you as a person, even though your ideas are terrible.
I do remember when my youngest was sending me music links. He was saying, oh, Dad, you've got to check out this band, Jimi Hendrix and the Doors. And I was going, and instead, I wasn't going like, no, I already know these. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll check them out.
The The Dorns?
The Doors. Oh, you know,
the Doors.
Yeah, the Doors.
It's catchy. It sounds like they don't have a bass. Yeah, it's true, Dad. They don't have a bass in it.
Yeah. You should check it out, Dad. Yeah. I'll give it a bash. Yeah. What
nice.
Was it? What was it again? The Door? Okay.
Doorknobs. I love them. Yeah. Catchy. Where are they from?
Yeah. But you have to be like that as a parent. I don't think you're not in competition with your kids. You just got to let them do their thing.
Anytime I've been in not been at my best, you know, not feeling well. You know, if you lose all your work when lockdown comes.
And
then your mum dies, and then and it all happens at the same time, and you start drinking again, even though you haven't drank for 5 years. And you start, then you suddenly, in hindsight, you look back and you realize that, I did share quite a lot of opinions around that time.
So it was a tricky time for you then, because you haven't drank, you haven't drank for a long time.
Well, I had stopped for about 6 years, and then I sort of had tried it back out for a little while, and then stopped again, and then tried it out for a little while, and mostly off.
Yeah.
Did 5 solid years off, and then in the last 4 years, on and off, but mostly off.
Yeah.
I struggle with it, mainly because I love it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't love me. It's not great for me because I can't be productive, and I talk too much, and I can't get up on time. And
Does it become all encompassing? It's everything.
Yeah, we start thinking about it and start thinking, oh, I wonder how can I orchestrate booze tonight? Oh, let's see. I've let a lot of my friendships go. So who can I call? Somebody's got to have a birthday we can go to. I'm pretty sure my agent's having a party in a month. Oh, yeah, that'll be a good time. Try it back out again. Because when you're younger, you got the energy to plow through it, don't you? You can handle the hangovers. But now, when I've drank the last few years, it makes you just down the next days. It's been like you've been out clubbing. In the 90s when you'd go out and do all the nonsense and go raving and whatever. Remember, it would take you 4 days to feel right again?
Yeah.
Now a few beers can do that.
Oh, dude.
Because your body's just not... Do you drink? Well, you never drank much.
No. I was never... It was never an issue. It was always... Because of what we do, it was always, we're out again. Let's have a pint. Or you'd be away weekends. It's like, so-and-so and so-and-so, they're doing that club. We're at this club. We're going to meet them after. And you go and do that. And especially with doing this, because there's a pub opposite. So we're going to have a pint after this. We haven't had a pint in a while. But it's one of them. It's like, we're just going to have a pint. We used to radio show. And we'd get hammered doing that. And it was just all part of it. And... Yes, it was never, I don't drink at home, but I was always out, so it was always a pint somewhere.
Oh.
But it has calmed down for a bit because of that, the existential crisis that now rears its head when I'm like, oh God, there's no point to me. What's the point?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's that.
Yeah. You don't want to be adding a depressant onto that, do you?
No.
Because when there's terrible things going on and there's the Palestinian Israeli war and all that's going on there.
Yeah.
You can't think about that when you're hungover. You're too fragile and you don't know what to think. And you can flip from anger, despair, and you think, no, I'm spending too much time on this. It's got nothing to do with me. So it makes everything harder, doesn't it?
It does. And you get lost in that. Like you said, you go down those holes. And if you're hungover as well, you think, well, there's just the world's fucked. What's the point? What's the point in this? I'll get another beer. Fuck it.
And remember when clubs used to be more like there would be a weekend.
Yeah.
In the old days, you'd do Jonglers, Bristol, or wherever, and it would be 2 nights.
Yeah.
And then so the first night, you'd just think, wow, I'm staying in a hotel tomorrow. And then the whole day would be ruined. Never go, hey, we didn't see you at breakfast. Oh, no, I was writing. That's what I always say. Everyone, I had some writing to
do.
But I wasn't. I was in my room.
Everybody would say that. They go, I've got writing to do today. You go, no, you're not. You're going to be wanking all day.
Or Yeah, we're going to go to the thingies at the thing. And God, I'd love to do that, but I'm going to be feeling sorry for myself trying to keep busy. And then, like, pre-phones and stuff, you'd have to be near a feed for your internet, feed for your laptop, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Or I actually just did a lot more reading. A lot more reading. Now it seems so hard to read.
It does seem hard to read, yeah.
My intention's been so shit. I think I'm going to read in front of the children. I'll say to myself, I'm going to show them some good habits.
Lead by example.
I do a big, and I get the book out, and I'm holding it up like I'm in an old film of reading. And I'm looking at it, and I look over, and they're on their phones, and then they disappear into other rooms, and I'm like, I'm only doing this for show. And I'm tired. I'm already tired. It makes me so sleepy to read.
It does. That's why now my wife and I, we put the baby down, and then we have a quick read, and then then that helps us off. I can't read in the day. I can't read anywhere. Can't read on a train because I just fall asleep.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy snoring on the train
with his book open.
Yeah. But, have you ever done that? Snored on the train, and then you wake up and everyone's looking at you.
Yeah, lots. And I do that a lot, and I've taken to talking in my sleep the last few years. Apparently,
cool.
I'm not sure I believe them, but they say. Actually, no, I do believe them because you know when you that moment between waking and sleeping, and you're just for a fraction of a second, you're aware of what you've been doing.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You do that kind of. There's some kids put them up on Instagram. You'll see them there. They film their dads going, honk, when they're sleeping. Apparently that's really common.
Whoa.
Common enough for it to be an Instagram thing.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I love when you find out a thing is a thing. Like I found myself one time, I clicked on a video of motorists pulling the eco protesters. What are they called again?
The climate people. Yeah.
Yeah. What's their climate name? They used to be called climate emergency. Now they're called
climate. What are they called? Climate.
Yeah,
people.
I know, right?
The climate folks.
Their message is getting through, isn't it? they're called.
What are they called? The climate protesters. Firemen. Climate people.
The world is ending. It's very religious-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, I remember when Crimbos used to be like that.
Crimbos.
We finally got on top of the old crazy Christians. And
just remember, it's Extinction Rebellion. Is that the one?
Yeah, Extinction Rebellion.
It's because the word climate was coming to you, but it was a mental block.
Yeah, we were like, it's not...
Extinction Rebellion. Yeah, so...
great band.
Well, so they always, when you see them, they come across your YouTube, you always get a little annoyed. I always get a bit annoyed and stuff like that. But anyway, I clicked on one where there was like a motorist... they were pulling them off the road to get through, and but it turns out they started getting loads of them, and it's like a thing, and I say it in my set now that actually I've suddenly found myself watching an hour a day of motorists pulling eco protesters off the road. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it's a whole genre.
You're spending an hour watching motorists pull climate change extension rebellion off.
And from all over the world, I'll tell you what, the Germans don't hold back.
They must
have some different laws in play. They grab them by the hair and all
that. Oh, Jesus.
I'm thinking, oh.
I saw one, and they were on an underground train, stood on the roof. Guy just grabs his legs and yanks him off. And you're like, Jesus Christ, that's, that's going to sting.
And then I found, and then if you keep going down the rabbit hole long enough, and I think, what the fuck's happening to me? I don't want to be watching this. It's too much conflict. That's not my. I'm not in this fight, that particular one. And then then suddenly I'm watching a video about some guy saying that that Extinction Rebellion is funded by the oil companies, because every time they do a protest, it turns people against them.
Oh, God.
So that the conspiracy is that they, big oil, runs what? Extinction Rebellion. Yeah, yeah. So that they can keep doing their protests. They're so annoying, spray painting things and going to Wimbledon and then you're going, yeah, that seems pretty plausible because they fucking drive me nuts. They make me want to drive more and go buy hairspray.
Yeah.
That's not what they're supposed to do.
No.
It's like, before they came along, I already knew about climate change and I was dead against it. You know, and I was like recycling and just thinking, fuck yeah, the world, we really got to work on this. Everyone's got to do their own little bit, and I'm going to try and drive less and do my recycling and, you know, maybe encourage the kids to go into an industry where they can make real change. But not now. Not like that now.
Not since those fuckheads turned up. Now it's like, burn things. Come on. Yeah, buy more fuel.
I'm encouraging my kids to use hairspray and saying, yeah, well, what about a career in oil?
We're getting bags for life and we're using them to stoke the fire. Yeah, well, it'll warm up.
I've got about 44 of the Waitrose bags for life. They're so thick and good. But I do take them out now. It's fun. I've made it. Once you get into a habit of doing something, it feels so weird when you don't. Like I've actually come back carrying my groceries in my hands. And it's not because I give a shit in that moment. It's not because I care about that one bit of plastic for the environment. I don't give a shit about that. It's because I'm in a habit of doing it the other way. That's
right.
All.
Yeah,
it's all about habit, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how
yeah.
You get real change.
Well, we keep out. This is the thing. We keep our bags for life in the boot of the car.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're there. But then you're like, but now I'm keeping it in the car. So I'm driving to the supermarket, which with my bags for life.
Well, I keep some in the car, some by the door, some by. I try and keep them in. Oh, but then you know that you use the ones from the car, they come back in. You've got to remember to replenish the ones.
Replenish,
in the car.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. But yeah, I have carried groceries, my shopping in my hands, with it all stacked up and balanced before. feeling. I hope someone I know sees me.
Just doing my bit.
Yeah, just thinking of Gaia.
I quite like walking around when I put my one of my bags for life in my back pocket. So it shows my gang allegiance. It's my colours.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Waitrose. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of them Waitrose guys. Is
oh,
he?
Yeah. He's doing
well. I tried to switch it up to Morrison's and Lidl. I still go back to, you know, for savings, but there's not much in it, you know. It's a con.
Not really.
Figure out ways to get it off you.
Yeah.
Morrison's ribbed.
This is how bad it's got. I was stood in the toilet roll section the other day. And we'd bought a load of toilet rolls from B&Q. I walked in and I went, oh, look at that. It's 12 quid for whatever, 24 rolls, whatever it was. I was like, oh, well, that's pretty cool. We should get them. And then I was stood in the aisle in Waitrose and they had a packet of 9, like big fat ones. And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. That's the same size. I was looking at the numbers at the back.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
This is the same amount of paper as I got for the other stuff. Ah, they were ripping us off. This is bullshit. It's all the same.
Yeah, you got to do a sheet count. You've got to do a sheet count. Yeah, it'll say on there exactly how many sheets. But it's too much. It's a lot of math going shopping. It's a lot of maths.
It's too much math.
So but if you just buy stuff that's on sale, I always think that anything that's ever on sale is at its real price. And the rest of the time, it's all on, like, extra.
Tesco. Club card price is £2.30. But if you buy it, if you don't have a club card, it's £6.50. You're like, what are you doing? Just tell me, if you give us your information, we'll give you all these groceries for free.
It's a big game between one office full of people on laptop, on computers, gaming against all of us. It's them versus us. They're trying to trick us. They're trying to hope that we're all fucking thickos. And they'll be right.
Yeah, and then we go, fuck this, I'm having a drink. This is all too much.
I'm going climate change march. Yeah, I went from going on a climate change march to... when I was pulling in one day, an extremely posh girl on a bike knocked on my window, and I have a massive German Shepherd in the back seat, and I'm thinking he didn't bark, which just thinks, what's the point of a massive German Shepherd if you're not going to scare away some posh, bossy boots? And she's about like 25. I don't know. It's hard to tell these days. But such a plummy voice, and I can't even do the accents. Just dripping with privilege and money. But she was telling me that I was behind you on my bike while you were driving in, and your exhaust, your car, it really smells. And I was so surprised with myself. I looked, and my instinct just kicked in, and I just went, oh, well, I better have it checked out. That might be my catalytic converter or something. Thank you for doing that. And I did all that before I realized, no, I'm enraged. I hate you. How dare you, pompous fucking twat, come and try and tell me what to do, rich fucker. Why don't you go back to your dad's fucking... dad give you money, but you use more. And I'm like, I'm in a 2008 Citroen Picasso Kizara. Like, if I had bought a Tesla, can you imagine the amount of CO2 that would go into making one of those?
Yeah, exactly.
I had all the things in my head, but I didn't. I instinctually was really polite and said, oh, thanks for that, I'll get it checked out. She even looked disappointed when she rode off, as if she was expecting a fight, a bit of a fight with someone in a dented old car.
Like, and she would have videoed it.
That's a working class person. I'm gonna put him in his place. And off she went, like absolutely destroyed by my politeness. Just absolutely savaged her. That's
well
the way I
done.
Look at it now.
And that's it. Put that video up.
But then I had a rage. Got fucking. I went upstairs and was fucking to my wife, and she's going, "You're an idiot. That was just a kid, just trying to." And I said, "But who does she think she is?" She goes, "Wow." That was during the time when I think I wasn't feeling very well. But and then I was mad at my dog for a while. I just thought, "What are you? What was going on, Tony?
What was going on?"
And just then there was
everything.
There was some homeless people in our hallway one time, doing some drugs in there, and walk in with Wolfie, and I'm going, what are you guys doing in here? You guys have got to go. And Wolfie, my dog, he was just really nice to them. But this is when you're supposed to bark. And then what will happen is someone will come up to politely knock on your window to say hi, and then he'll go, oh, and scare the shit out of people. No, this, not now.
No.
Now's the time to be nice. He's nice to homeless people and posh snobs, hypocrite snobby late people, and homeless crackheads.
It's because he feels safer doing it to the nice people. He doesn't really like conflict.
He knows... who means business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like a typical guy in a bar that picks a fight with, you know,
the
weakest people, and then sort of like nothing ever actually sort of backs up, like, come on in, as he's backing away.
But I mean, I've never had a complaint about the car since, and I've never, the crack guys have not been in our communal flat area again. So he's doing something right. Yeah. I guess maybe it's more of a non-verbal, you know, message to them.
Well done. So what's been happening?
Well, no,
Tony?
That was the lockdown. In my head, I've been trying to find ways to avoid sharing anything real.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, my mind was racing ahead to try and talk about something else.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm against climate change. So I've decided, right? You can't tell me what to do. My choice is I don't like the earth. I hate the earth.
This is how much you don't want to get personal. You'd rather be a climate denier, climate change denier.
Oh, no, I'm not denying it. I know it's happening, but I'm encouraging it and want more of it. So I'm not one of these climate deniers. I'm anti-Earth, because like if you think about it, the Earth does kill a lot of people, like a lot of innocent people. More innocent people die from from
earthquakes.
From the earth. The earth kills more people per year than the Israeli Defense Force by a lot.
This is a real wild take.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. So why, right? If you think about it, why isn't everyone more angry at the earth? And also, it's not the people that fall off mountains, right? You know, if you're a posh guy from the Cotswolds who just loves climbing, you know, love the adventure, got to get out there.
Yeah.
And if they go out to the Himalayas on a big climb, you know, going to do the south face of K2, and they fall off and die, that shouldn't come up on our news, because those are for the earth.
Oh, see.
So they're an offering. They're for the earth to say, here you are, Gaia. Here you are, Earth. Take this, man.
He was definitely a virgin.
Because these guys are usually so insanely selfish that they have like 5 kids and a wife.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave the fams behind. I've got to do it. It's inside of me.
It's my truth. Yeah.
I've got to get up there and I climb. You know, and I just can't. I just think it's instinctual. It's deep within me. You know, it's my father Rafe. They've all got a Rafe in the family. It's fucking Ralph, pal.
Yeah.
If you're not pronouncing it Ralph. In. Yeah. I don't, if you're calling Ralph Rafe, you're out. Get out.
I saw this morning, actually. I've seen it a couple of times. It pops up now and again. And it's a picture of, like, Everest. And it says, every dead body that's on Everest was once a motivated person. So calm down.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Everybody calm down.
Calm down.
Like Gary Vee. You ever aware of Gary Vee?
No.
He's like a motivational guy over in the States. Increasingly, everything I'm watching and listening to is from the States. But he's insanely motivated. He does stuff like, oh, are you still there?
Yeah, still here. Hello.
Oh, you went all foggy.
Yeah, it does that. But it just, when the recording comes out, it's all normal.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But he does stuff like, he'll have the Gary Vee con, and he'll sell out a stadium of like 10,000 people where they have different speakers and stuff. And he basically, his message is, you don't know how much power you've got. Quit your job. Own your mind, do what you want to do, do what you love, and you can become an entrepreneur too. So they basically tell people to just fucking, if you quit what you're doing and go follow your dreams, you'll be rich and definitely not homeless. That's his message. He needs to calm the fuck down.
He needs to calm down. We can't all be millionaires, and we can't all be, living our dreams.
Trying to sell more of a message of hey, let's just be happy with what we've got.
Yeah.
Everybody, just, we need, because like when we grew up, or when I was a kid, I remember the bus driver or the truck driver or the person who swept the streets in our little town or the guy who picked up bottles or fucking anyone. The person who worked in the, well, there wasn't many fast food, but whoever worked in the cafes or the restaurant. Anyway, everybody had a status. Like, everybody was viewed upon as, well, this maybe that's because it was Canada. We didn't have this vicious class system, which when I moved here in 1990, and I wasn't aware of class because when in the 1970s and 80s in the part of Canada I was from, everyone was working class. And
yeah.
your doctor in the town, he talked like he was working working class doctor. And everybody, the dentist was a working, everyone was working class. There was no class hierarchy.
No.
I mean, it started to develop that when some people started to get rich when the economy took off. But having said that, coming to England, it was the first time I became aware of, like, classism and snobbery.
Yeah, that's what this place is built on. They encourage it. We've always had that, us and them. Yeah. People with the more expensive hats, they're in charge.
And it's depressing. It really gets to... That's really affected my mental health, so I can't imagine what it's like for a working-class English person. And it still goes on today. That must be a real cause for anxiety that you don't hear people writing about much about anymore.
No.
You used to read more articles in the 90s about class, and there used to be more like class unity. So, say so-called minorities, but British people who formerly their grandparents came from the Caribbean or whatever, you know, British citizens, the Windrush guys. Those guys and the working class people, I feel like there should be more, or should have been more, unity between just working class versus the upper class. I mean, ideally, no classism, but more kind of unity rather than dividing the classes. So working class white people seem to be not given any, the middle classes kind of hate them. You get a sense sometimes.
There's a
the
definite
poshos,
yeah.
especially the left wing, lefty poshos give off a real fucking hatred towards working class British people. And I notice it as an outsider. I could hear it in conversations and see it. Well, of course, he's gammon. I mean, that guy's an absolute gammon. They say gammon, or it used to be chavos and all. But the like really nasty, like things you would never ever say about someone you don't. Like, they think they can get away with it because they share a skin tone. But they don't. They're completely different cultures. Like, you have no right to speak to people like
about
people like that. It's vicious hatred.
But it's
not spoken about now because they control all the media, and that's not something they're interested in exploring.
Nope. They just see working class people as expendable. They want to see us as servants for them. Like, they want what they want now is they want us all to be working in an Amazon distribution center. That's what they want. They don't want us to be doing art things. They don't want us to be learning instruments and painting and poetry and things. They want us to be working in these massive distribution centers for them.
And then British working class people sort of started to get fed up and started developing a real attitude and a cheek, like, fuck that shit, and started getting fed up with centuries of it, and so started to refuse to do certain things. So how did they fix it? Well, we'll import new working class people from far-flung parts of the world, and we will bring them in, and they'll do it for us. They've just imported it.
Yeah. And they're like, well, there's no jobs now. And then they go, yeah, well, that's because that person took your job. Hang on a minute. No, it didn't.
we wanted you to pay us more, but no, they can't keep the wages low if people, if you keep finding people who are willing to, because they're escaping poverty somewhere, they'll do it. So they can keep the wages low, and they can keep booming businesses.
Yeah.
Well, what do I know? I think I've been listening to too many podcasts.
I think you do get lost. I tell you this because I watch all these videos of people hurting themselves, falling down. I don't want to. They just keep popping up. And then, like, you click on one, and now you're seeing them all. And you're like, oh, God. But it really has desensitized me because there was a person the other week. I was walking to a gig, and I was like, I need to get this train. I need to jump on this train. I looked, and there was someone falling down the escalator. Ooh. And they were tumbling because it was going up, and they were tumbling down. And I just went, oh, that looks terrible. And then I just carried on walking. And I went, fuck, what's wrong with me? I went back and everyone had like gathered around her and they were helping her. I'm like, shit, I've seen so many things online that my brain just thought I was looking at another video of someone falling over.
Yeah.
Like, God.
I started watching industrial accidents there for a while. Got into that. Watching like big giant cranes fall over in the wind. And then you go, there was someone in that.
Yeah.
What is wrong?
Mate, I know.
But then you are desensitized. One is desensitized, and you know you pass homeless. To a certain degree, you got to. Otherwise, you just spend your whole day super sad. You know, you walk past a homeless person. Part of you always automatically has to switch something off inside you. But every once in a while, it catches you by surprise. Like coming in back into London on the West Way, and there's a ex-soldier in his tent, and there's a bunch of other people have joined him, homeless people there. And I wheeled down my window and gave him some change.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, good luck, man. I'm just, you know, whatever. And I don't always do that, but I just felt to that day. And then I just started crying, not in front of them. But as I drove away, I just started crying. And I just thought, oh, God, it's got to get out sometimes.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, I didn't do nothing about it. I didn't go volunteer or any fucking thing. I just had a good cry and I felt better.
Yeah.
Oh shit! There's someone
banging on your windows.
Oh wait, I gotta open that up. I'll be right back.
Yep, it's all right.
Shush, Wolfie. Shush. That's freaking Wolf. Shush.
This is great. Bring some context.
I like it. I like his pajamas.
Yeah. Well, his bed's there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All this stays in the video.
This is great. Yeah. This is real content.
That's a small room. If the cat and the dog join him in there, this could be.
Oh, God.
Is Wolfie making the podcast. It into the show?
This is all making it in, mate. I like your pajamas.
Oh, yeah. I can't wear trousers in here
because
it's too. Granny's over to visit, so they'll take a while coming up the stairs. It's three stories. She's 82. So Wolfie will be there for, I wonder how long, I'd be interested. I might time it, see how long it takes Granny to get up three flights. 1507. Let's see. I'm sure that could be useful data.
Is she going to knock on the doors, let you know she's there?
No, I'll hear them. Wolfie will go. I'll keep that one off. I'll hear them. Oh. Yeah, so that'll be a while. Yeah, what kind of... And nowadays, I get quite nervous that, you know, because on Twitter, it can give you the impression that you can be unsure. But you remember like 10 years ago, or maybe even 6 years ago, you could have a conversation and you weren't worried that anything you said was out of order. You just thought, oh, I'm just having a conversation. I'm going to say what I think about this. They'll tell me if they think I might be wrong. But you never second-guessed yourself and thought, is that... Did I just say something right wing? You know, like, because you go on Twitter and people are shouting at people, and then you read what that person said, and you're going, well, what they said is fine.
Then you
say, oh, well, that was quick, Granny.
Wow, what was that? 15:00?
No, that was.
Is that a minute?
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Mind you, they had a minute head start as I was getting back in the booth, so we'll call it three.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hello.
I love how they just go, Dad's in the cupboard again.
Yeah, 3 minutes. Yeah, we're doing it at the right time because the kids will be back from school at about 5, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're well early. That was just my wife and my mother-in-law.
Nice.
Granny. Yeah, so, the internet. I'd stay off X now, though.
Yeah, loads of people are coming away from it. It's just toxic on there. I think... But I know what you mean. There are some arguments. I see a lot of comedians getting into arguments, and there'll be a pile-on on somebody, and then you see what that person said or did, and you go, hang on a minute. That I've seen that person say something. There was a thing with Danny Baker, and Danny Baker's been I've seen him on so many things over the years. you know, he's a very
good DJ.
Yeah, he was part
Danny Baker,
and he's just been on the radio for years, and he was with NME for a long time, and he's a very progressive man. And then he fucked up, and he put this picture up of it was supposed to be. He goes, "Oh, Meghan Markle, I saw congratulations to the royal couple getting married," and it was a picture of someone in a posh outfit holding hands with a monkey. And everyone piled on him, and that's racist, he's racist. And he didn't, but he didn't mean it, because it was Meghan Markle and Harry.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, "That's racist, he's saying that she's a monkey and she's this, she's that." But I'd seen Danny do that. What he was talking about was the royal family. And he's used that photo for the royal family so many times, saying about what they're like. And that was what it was. It wasn't racist in any way, shape or form. But everyone piling on.
Yeah.
And you're going, "Oh, fuck, this is an argument that..."
Yeah, that's not good. That's the thing that people increasingly are fed up with, is people just turning on people for, like, are getting things wrong. And yeah, I think I had the instinct to be like that 10, 15 years ago. So I'm glad there was no, well, there was a Twitter, but it wasn't like, it was all about just doing jokes.
Yeah.
I remember watching the 2012 Olympics and just tweeting jokes the whole time.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah, it's but you think you can just be having a normal conversation and think, "Oh, what did I say? Is that the right opinion?" And that's not how you're supposed to be in life. You're not supposed to go through life questioning. Like when you're doing a set in stand-up, it's easier because you can think things through. But if you're just talking, you don't
just
necessarily
coming out.
Think. Yeah,
but I don't worry about being right wing because I'm not. I just know I'm not. So like it's the same a bit. Like I'm worried that I might come across a bit racist. Cause you're not going to be because you're not racist. So
no,
that's not
but then
come
Danny
out,
Baker
but.
Wasn't. That's
no,
what I mean, but Danny Baker wasn't thinking that either.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Just that.
You know, when I find myself saying things like, you know, I think Trump's all right, actually. Then, you know, that's when I worry.
Oh, God, I saw a picture of him earlier with his makeup on. Oh, my God. Oh. It looked like a nappy. It looked like a nappy. You look a baby's nappy.
He's coming back, isn't he?
Dude, he can't come back,
see,
man.
I don't see that juggernaut halting at any point. unless someone else takes him over in the Republican polls. I'm not interested in watching that anymore. I just hope, because the thing about him is he committed some
heinous crimes.
Bad crimes against females.
Yeah.
So that's enough right there to go, "All right, sorry about it," you know. Mm. But then you find that there's some such good impressions of him out there that if you start watching the impressions, you start thinking, "He's all right, actually," because the impressions are quite sweet. You know, like when Shane Gillis does his, you think, "Oh, Trump's," you know, you start, but he's not the impression. Anyway, and also the worst part is he just divides people. He makes people who are on the new left, you know, the kind of crazy, fringy, lunatic far left, and it makes more of them, which then makes more of the ones crazy on the right. And so he just drives people out, doesn't he? So
yeah.
I hope someone comes along and doesn't let him come in just for that and the sex crime. If they could get a civil conviction, then that would change it. But
it'd just be nice to have people coming into government that were actually do the job they're supposed to be doing, and that was looking after us. Now they're all business people. It's all business, and all you ever hear about is the economy. We've got to get the economy back on its feet. And like, well, if you get the people back on their feet, then the economy will be boosted because we'll all be spending again.
Wasn't that good, that Tom Ward routine about how corporations have become like right on and they do the
That's brilliant, yeah.
Here at Lockheed Martin.
Our detonators are all environmentally friendly.
Our nuclear warheads are all naturally sourced. Uranium tipped.
That was it.
Shouldn't cost the world to end the world or something
like that. Yeah, it shouldn't cost the earth.
shouldn't cost
nuclear
the earth.
War shouldn't cost the earth. That was it.
Oh my god, so good.
It's a good line. But your stuff's, I like what I like about your stuff is that it isn't political in any way, shape, or form. It's just it's surreal, and
it's kind of surreal. But it's all from a kind of a lefty. Well, it's actually no, it's not. It's kind of just naughty. So whatever's the prevailing thing that there's too much of, I'll maybe have a little poke at that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Have a poke at people shouting at each other online. But I try and never pick a side.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be one.
I think, you know, yeah. I think as comedians, we should be on the outside
down
of it
the
all.
Middle.
Or down the middle. Yeah, yeah. Or looking at the whole thing going, this is all ridiculous. This is all silly.
So, the best comedians, I think, yeah. Or, like, when Saturday Night Live was good, it wouldn't side. It would point out... It would point out all the hypocrisies,
yeah.
Not just one side. Because there's no way that there isn't lunatics in America in the Democratic Party, and there's lunatics in the Republican Party. They're all lunatics, and they're all corporate. I don't know. Whatever the thing is. But, yeah, we should be outside of it looking in.
Yeah, I think so. That's why things like South Park works, because it mocks everything. Like, no one is safe.
Yeah,
left, right, up, down, everybody gets it, and
never wavered, has it?
No,
and consequently, it's uncancelable because for every person it upsets, there'll be someone who really likes it.
Someone backs it up,
that one, and then they like it, and
yeah,
that's the goal, isn't it? In the comedy, and also you just don't want to bring up any bad feelings. Like it'd be to go and have a take. When you're in a club and someone's got a political take, it doesn't matter which side of the thing it is, you know, where they make an assumption that everybody in the room is thinking that or agrees with that.
Yeah.
That I don't like, because then it's rally-ish. I take great pride in being able to do the exact same set at Comedy Unleashed and then the next night do that communist fella's gig, Quantum Leopard. And I don't change a word. The set is the exact same. He makes you like, he used to. He doesn't do this to me anymore, but you'd go through a list of things you weren't allowed to do. And I thought, well, that's easy. I'm not going to do anything that's sexist or misogynist. I'm just not.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people get really offended that they have to even sign it. And that's fair enough. I respect that view too. But I don't mind because I'm going to do the same set there as I do over there.
And who's that? Who's this guy?
James Ross.
Oh, yeah.
He's a full-on proper commie, but he's a very well-read one. You know, he's...
Yeah.
And I like to have friends like that, and I like to also have friends that are maybe conservative-y. I don't have any... I don't know anyone far-right. Like, I've never met anyone properly right-wing.
Not really way out there.
Right.
No.
Or even right-wing. I know conservative people.
Conservative people that are kind of right of center...
Yeah.
But then, you know, we both know Simon Evans. I've known Simon Evans years, you have.
He's slightly right as
center. Yeah, but I'll have a... He was one of our first ever guests on here, and he talked about economics, and it was brilliant. And it was like, I learned a lot from that. And I sit down with Simon, and you have brilliant conversations with him, but he's not you know, banging the drum, really, for right-wing or left-wing. He's just kind of...
He's got some good positive things to say about economics.
Yeah.
And capitalism.
Good things about capitalism.
Yeah, yeah, and how we kind of all need it. But I don't know anyone with extreme views, and I don't think I ever have, maybe. I've come across them over the years, but not for a long, long time.
They're normally in bars on their own, and that's when you meet them.
Yeah.
In the corner.
Well, like in Canada, in a farming community, quite a lot of those people are right of center, but they're also really kind, charitable, loving people. They just have some messed up views on homeless people. they're not as kind about homelessness as they, but maybe they've progressed past that. But I don't think in life it's easy to not know any racists, for example.
Yeah, there's like older, obviously, you know, family members. There's some of them that I don't know actually where I grew up. There's a few people that I've seen some stuff they've posted on Facebook or certain words, and you're going like, oh, fuck, how have you become that? What happened to you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They've moved out to the right.
Yeah, they'll say words. Oh yeah, I was talking to this whoever, you know, I don't want to say the word, but it begins with a D, ends with a Y. And I was talking to this fella the other day, and he goes, oh wow, you're still using that word. Okay.
Wow, that's That's usually pretty cancelable.
Yeah, but this is in real life. This isn't in like.
Oh right.
So, and you go to these pubs and they see me flinch and they go, you're just one of those. You're in the arts rich, aren't you? So you're going to be all like, oh, you can't say this, you can't say that.
Right? Well, they've been on the internet too long too. Because what they do is that on the two hives, you get the people over here. On the right, we'll pick all the craziest clips of people being mad on the left, and they'll keep posting all of that. And then everyone watching will go, God, they're all like that. And then they over there, they do the same thing. They take crazy clips from over there, and they pump that to their crowd. And so both sides think that the other side is a cartoon character of evil.
Not you, though, Tone. Not you, mate.
Well, it depends what time of the day. I could flip flop either way, mate.
Depends on my blood sugar levels.
Yeah, you got to work pretty hard at having a broad range of. I remember there for a while, I read nothing but The Guardian for about 10 years.
Yeah,
and then at some point, I thought I can't be just, So I started reading other things. I'm trying to have a broad range of info because you can get news that once. One outlet won't publish a thing that's happened. Like, it was very hard to find the farmers were revolting in Germany. And it was interesting. You could go through all the different news sites.
Yeah.
And some that didn't put it out, and then all the other ones did put it out. You think, shouldn't you all be putting out the same news?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, this is why watching things like, I've been watching Succession lately. I never used to really watch a lot of telly, but now we've got the baby, you kind of sit there and watch the bits. Watching Succession and you go, fuck, I don't think this is far from the truth. They are awful human beings.
Yeah, I bet.
Brutal. And they're saying like and the main people, their news channel is just bullshit. It's like Fox News. Whereas the other news channels are like proper news. It should just be news.
Yeah. It should be news. We used to think it was news in the old days, but that they were monitoring what we were fed.
Yeah.
I liked it. I preferred it.
Yeah, we're the good guys. We're the good guys. We're good guys news.
In lockstep. Yeah, but then if you get a bit fed up, sometimes I'll just go through not even paying attention to news for a while and watch like the opening of new dams. Or big industrial projects. You think, God, China builds some big stuff at the moment. How much concrete went into that? I'm starting to lose some of my knowledge about World War II fighter aircraft. I better brush up on that and spend a good week on that.
My middle son and I, we send videos of Spitfires and Mustangs to each other. Just go, listen to that.
Oh, the P-47 Thunderbolt, that's my favorite.
Yeah, man,
sound.
That's a good one.
My wife caught me. She came in with this after we'd first met, and she said she thought I'd been watching porn because of the way I kind of tried to turn off the the computer. And what it was is I was listening to the sound of World War II aircraft engines. And I think the one on there was the Pratt & Whitney Double Wasp.
Wow.
So I was listening to the sound of an engine. But I was kind of embarrassed that she'd come home. We'd only been living together for a couple months. And there's me. She's coming back from work. And I'm on a laptop listening to airplane sounds. I didn't think that was giving the right message. But she said she was worried at first that she, you know, because I wanted her to have the impression I was just writing all day. And she just thought, oh, he's watching porn. And then she went, oh no, it's much sweeter than that. He's listening. She thought it was cool, so she tells the story to this day.
Yeah, but it does. It was you writing. It was you. It all plays into your stuff.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to need that noise. I still think about a bit of material you used to do about a really long tap outside. And you said, how long is your garden? Tell me about a really long garden tap. And then you said, and then you went, he goes, I don't know where it, something rather, I don't know your homes. And then you went, and I fucking died. Just that,
filling up a paddling pool.
Yeah.
When you live in the top floor flat and you have a communal garden and you want to orchestrate a fight between a black bear and a shark, you need a really long tap.
That's it. And I don't know what you said, something, I don't know what it is, I don't know your homes. And then blah, blah, blah.
I don't know how you live. But when we first, they're 14 now, when we had our twins when they were little babies, it was the very first time we could watch whole series of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it was on DVDs at the time, 14 years ago. Yeah, when they were tiny babies. Because they're twins, and my wife was like, had everything scheduled for breastfeeding, so you'd feed, she would map out like that no boob fed one baby more than the other, so there was equal, so her boobs were always going to be the same size, and also the children got the right amount of food for how much they needed. So it's a girl and a boy, so they both fed much different, and so it took a lot of organization where when it was feeding time, I would have to bring them in, lob one over the shoulder, know which boob to get right, then take the other one off the boob, go change that one, bring it back, and then put them down at the same time so they slept the same. So it was all like clockwork. My wife, I remember, she watched all of The Wire when she was breastfeeding, the whole of The Wire. And I remember just thinking, I thought, well, whilst the babies are napping and it's feeding time, she'll stop The Wire and then I'll go and do some. But no, she was just watching the episodes without me. So I just stopped going out and doing other stuff. And I just watched The Wire too. We watched all of it in about a month.
We've piled through some stuff. We have a lot of murder stuff. I've been watching a lot of murder stuff.
Yeah.
Famous murders, like the Green River Killer. And
girls, women love murder stuff.
Oh, dude,
they?
So much murder stuff. The Night Stalker.
I was doing some mansplaining, not mansplaining. I was just doing some autistic talking at people, which I do, whether they're a man or a woman. And I was just talking at her about some gangster somewhere. And I stopped after about 30 seconds and I went, you know all about this, don't you? And you know way more. And she goes, yep. She goes, I didn't just watch Narcos. I deep dove this.
Oh,
shit.
Wow.
She knows everything about Mexican and Colombian cartels. Like, and then there's this one. And then, of course, Joaquin Guzman, also known as. And she's going, yes. Shush. So who do I talk to? She goes, maybe start putting some effort back into friendships again. But I'm like, when all the other comedians start having kids and stuff, it's tough. And most of them moved out of London.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone in London that isn't a parent.
No, we've all had kids now. That's it.
Yeah. Or an AA member.
Yeah. Either way, we're not fun. Well, this has been lovely, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I hope, mate, I really opened up to you there.
Do you know what? It's only, we've been in the last 5 seconds where you've mentioned autism. And it's like, oh, yeah, all right. He drops that little bombshell before we leave. Fucking great. Oh. Tony, where can we find you on any social media that you would like to be found on?
Well, I'm pretty inactive on Twitter. I'm inactive on Instagram and inactive on Facebook. But when I start booking up a tour, then I become activated again, and I'll start posting videos of my dogs and me.
Nice.
And, yes, go find me on those, and I'll be going to Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Woo! For 2 weeks.
Well done, all mate. Right. Nice. Thank you, Tony Law.
Are you going?
No. I was going to go for a week, and then I had a show plan. I was going to go to MacFest, and then that hasn't happened because they forgot about me. And then I went, do you know what? I'll do it next year. So I've got a show that I'm putting together, but next year. And then the baby will be bigger then, so I'll be able to do it then. Yeah, next year.
Yeah,
next year. 2025 is my year.
That's good. It's good doing Edinburgh with babies.
I can't wait.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Something about going back to after the chaos of the festival and putting a baby on you and soaking up their pheromones, it just takes all of the stresses gone. Like, my best shows I ever had in my entire life as a comedian were when they were, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3 years old. Those are the best shows, because I just, I had babies.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, man. I'll do that. Yeah, next year. It'll be lovely. Tony Law, this has been lovely. This has been Insane in the Membrane. I've been Rich Wilson. And as I said, this is Tony Law. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.